In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, first I'd like to look at the letter to the Hebrews. There's a few teachings here of the church that are contained right within this we should always be aware of. And then we're going to look at the first reading and the gospel, how there's a widow presented in both of those readings, and how they have a strong faith. A strong faith helps us to overcome discouragement and despair, anxieties, and the worries of life that may assail us. Now, this letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul says basically, Jesus Christ, he died once. But every time the Mass is offered, what happens is that same sacrifice of Calvary, through mystically, through time and space, is made present here. Or you can look at it this way, we are made present at Calvary. And what happens at every Mass is Jesus Christ shows his wounds to the Father. And because Christ gave us the Mass and made those graces available down through time and space so we could come here to be present. Then a couple other things. If you ever hear someone say, I believe in reincarnation, you just say, you know what? That's against the Word of God. It's right here in Hebrews chapter 9 that it's appointed human beings to die once and then the judgment, the particular judgment. So anytime you hear someone talk about reincarnation, it's a fallacy, it's a total lie, it's a New Age thing that has no basis in reality whatsoever. It's contrary to Revelation and Scripture. And then finally here in Hebrews, it's something here, it's sort of subtle. If you don't catch it, you may not catch it right away. It talks about when Christ will come the second time, he'll appear the second time, not to take away sins, but to bring salvation. Now is the time of mercy. Now is the time when we beg God's mercy, we go to confession to take away our sins. And those who pass from this world, then Christ then bring us to salvation for those who have been freed from sin. So now is the time of mercy. Now, that's the first reading and the gospel. And I'm giving this sermon in light of what's happened this past week with the results of the election. Now, you have this widow here, the widow of Zarephath. She's a widow. Her husband's not there. She has one son. She has very little food. And this prophet comes. She's probably heard of him. And there's this drought right now that's come over the land of Israel. And he says, give me some food. She says, well, all I have is just a little food. Once my son and I eat that, we're going to eat this, and then we'll die, because that's going to be it. But he says, don't be afraid, but first give me some food. Elijah represents the church. Elijah represents the Lord God. Give to God first, and the rest will take care of itself. So she does that. And what happens? She went for her son for a year until the drought ended. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry. The supply was constant, almost like, give us this day our daily bread. Can you imagine during the course of that year, she kept saying, boy, well, it's going to run out now. It's going to run out now. But the supply was constant. It's incredible. She probably, before Elijah came, she was probably giving a little bit into discouragement, or at least was tempted to it. What's going on here? You know, I'm trying to live a God-fearing life. My husband's not here, so I have no one to provide. I got this very little food. So Elijah comes into the picture. Put God first. Put God first, and these things are going to work out. So she's a great model of faith. We may not have all the different things that we would prefer, but we'll get what we need. So she was going by her daily bread. So the graces God gives each day. And then, here in the gospel, we have another widow that's presented. And she too may have been tempted to discouragement. Her husband's not there. We know she has very little money because she says right here in the scriptures, our Lord said she only put just a few cents, small, couple of coins into the treasury there, into the collections. And our Lord said she didn't give from her surplus, but she contributed all she had, her own livelihood. Talk about a leap, an act of faith. God, I'm putting you first. I know if I make you the son of my life, that you will take care of all the different things that I need. What a great, this is a great example of faith. And you look at that. How many times, or perhaps we've been in these situations ourselves, car payments due, house payments due, electrical bill, heating bill, whatever the bills are, we have so much money, maybe say $100. Would we have that faith to put God first. Like most people, faith is weaker. We're works in progress. We got to take care of those other things. But the scriptures tell us, you put God first and watch what he'll do for you. Now, this past week, I've received several, a number of people actually communicated to me. They're a little bit discouraged by the results of the election because a man who is for the five intrinsic evils, the non-negotiables, homosexuality, abortion, euthanasia, fetal stem cell research, cloning, was put into office. Well, I want to tell you, don't give in to discouragement. Don't give in to despair. In God's providence, nothing happens by accident. And I want to, last week, last Monday, in the office of reading, which all the priests pray, we started what's called the Book of Maccabees in the Old Testament. And it's just wonderful. I was just so enthused. This is on Tuesday, last week, the day of the election. Listen to this. And then they followed the next couple. They started Monday, went through the week. It starts off with the story of Matthias, okay? And his sons, Judas Maccabeus and Simeon. And they're faithful. They're faithful to God. But what's happened, the setting here, is these pagans have taken over Israel, okay? And they're getting many people, the majority, to go over to the pagan ways, to abandon the ways of God, the covenant, and the way that God said that they should be living, to abandon them. Now, Mattathias was a man of great influence. And these pagan rulers, these four rulers that came in, recognized that. So they go up to him, and they say this to him, hey, they say, you have influence. You're honorable among these people here. You come over to our side. You become friends with the kings, the pagan kings, and then we... You will be enriched with silver and gold and many gifts. Now imagine if you're Mattathias. There could be that temptation to give in to discouragement. Realizing that you're the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, the great lawgiver. These are your spiritual fathers, your inheritance. That this is the chosen people. That God sent the mighty prophets, Moses, to take him out of the land of Egypt, of bondage, into the promised land. So he knows the history. All these different things like that. And he sees yet... But many of these descendants of these of the patriarchs going the other way, the way of the pagans. Now, what's going to happen here? Now he's tempted with these worldly things. And this is great. I had goosebumps, or God bumps, when I read this. This is what it says. But Mattathias answered in a loud voice, although all the Gentiles of the king's realm obey him, so that each forsakes the religion of his fathers and consents to the king's order, yet I and my sons and my kinsmen will keep to the covenants of our fathers. God forbid that we should forsake the law and the commandments. We will not obey the words of the king, nor depart from our religion in the slightest degree. This is just great. I'm reading this. I'm thinking a movie should be made out of this. It's just so awesome what they do. Now, a lot of them end up being martyred. But we remember them today because of their strong faith. They didn't give in to discouragement. They didn't give in to the ways of the devil, flesh, and world. They remained firm in the Lord. We're called to be like that too, despite what happens to us. Despite what happens to us, no matter what, to remain firm in the Lord, to trust. Providentially, that same morning, my meditation from St. Faustina's diary, the Lord God is speaking to Faustina. And this is just in part. I won't read the whole thing. This is a little part here. And he's teaching her about the interior life. And then he says this to her, in part, bear with great calm and patience everything that befalls you. Bear with great calm and patience everything that befalls you. Be at calm, be at peace. I am Lord. Put your hand in my hand and trust. And trust. Yes, these past elections did not go the way that a true Christian would like it to go. But don't give in to discouragement or despair. Keep focusing on the Lord. The minute those election results came out, in my heart I thought, wow, the devil would love. Love for the followers of Christ to give into discouragement. Would love it. Imagine if you were there at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Remember how difficult that was. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, spit upon, humiliated, crucified on the cross. And it was so dark that even the sun was blotted out during that time. Think about that. So during the 2,000 course year of the history of the church, and even the patriarchs before the time of our Lord, different things were thrown at them. But the ones that we remember, the ones who are canonized, the ones who remained faithful. Now, I say this as a pastor, your pastor, St. Mary's pastor, Nativity BBM. And if you know anyone, hopefully not from our parish, hopefully not from Paris, that actually voted for Barack Obama, I ask you, I say this out of love, they can't receive Holy Communion. Why? Because they supported a man, and in both of our parishes, we put literature out, we preached about it, we put the 5 non-negotiables in the bulletin several times in August, we put it again in October. So knowledge was here that homosexuality, abortion, euthanasia, what they call mercy killing, all these things are intrinsic evils. To vote for a person that's 100% before that is you're giving your consent to that, and in God's eyes, you're guilty as well. Not as guilty, but the person is guilty as well. So if anyone, I hope that nobody here, either of our parishes, I hate to think that, but I do know there, I've heard of different people say, father or my mother or whatever, different parts of the country, voted for a man like that. I said, well, first pray for repentance, that they be granted the gift of repentance, the grace of going to confession. Otherwise, they will not be properly disposed to receive Holy Communion. And why do I say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, St. Paul says, he who eats and drinks the body and blood of our Lord in an unworthy manner eats and drinks condemnation unto himself. And then he goes on, and they will be guilty of the very body and blood of Christ. So we don't want to be guilty of that. So my dear friends, I tell you, just on a positive note, focus on Jesus Christ. We are extremely blessed. Right here in our backyard, Jesus Christ is available 24/7. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Anytime temptations come to give him discouragement or despair, because the things, where they're going in the world, with abortion becoming more and more rampant and different parties celebrating that, come and adore the Lord. Not just for yourself, but to beg the Lord's mercy upon our world. Many times I look at the things and say, wow, Lord, your mercy is unfathomable. Because you would think we would just be dismayed. But the Lord is so patient. So patient. But there will come a time when mercy comes to the end. We are children of God. And we prove our love for God by the way that we live. And every time we come to Mass, we say, Lord, help me to conform myself more and more to you. And we can pray, dear Lord, help me to have that courage, like Mattathias, the courage of Judas Maccabeus. Lord, help me to have their courage, despite what's thrown at me, that I may remain calm and peace and focused on you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.